Lee Schwartz, who is the Executive Vice President of Government Relations for the Michigan Association of Home Builders. Lee, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. Doing great. Who wouldn't on such a good day?
I tell you what, it'd be a good day to be building a house, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the Michigan Association of Home Builders. As you and I were talking during the break, a real indicator of the economy is if people are building homes and what the mortgage rates may be and whatnot. Just thinking back to first quarter, how did first quarter look as far as home building, not only in the state but here in mid-Michigan?
We're really starting to see an uptick. Obviously, it's not anywhere near where it used to be, but it's not dropping. We're encouraged. We're getting strong growth in some parts of the state. There's a shortage of people laugh when you tell them there's a shortage of quality new homes out there, but there are. And most of the homes that have gone in foreclosure that were good homes have already been snapped up. So we're starting to see the new home market rebound a bit. Remodeling has been strong throughout this. So we're encouraged. And with manufacturing picking up, that's a good sign too.
And as you were telling me, you believe that much of the legislation, the new legislation geared toward business and manufacturing, will eventually help your industry.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that throughout Michigan. The fact is that nobody's going to buy a new home unless they know they've got a job. And you know, back when we started to hit the slump, back in 2005, 2006, the housing market was still strong. We're sort of a lagging indicator. When manufacturing started to go under, housing still remained strong. But we got hit eventually too, but we kept the state going for a couple of years. Now you're starting to see manufacturing come up. You're starting to see lagging that a little bit, housing come up. But housing is the key to getting the economy back. There's no question about it.
But you're encouraged about this.
Very encouraged about what's going on.
Well, let's talk about House Bill 4561. It's known as the Flexible Code Cycle legislation. What is this?
Well, let me talk a little bit about the codes themselves so people understand. Michigan has construction codes. There are seven different codes. You have a mechanical code, a plumbing code, an electrical code, building code, a residential code, an energy code, and a rehabilitation code for existing buildings. These aren't really government documents. A lot of people think some government agency writes these. These are documents. These are codes that are written by private companies. And these private companies, and I'm a member of one, the International Codes Council, then holds the copyright to these. And every 3 years, they publish code books. Michigan is one of only a handful of states around the country that adopts a code every 3 years. 35 other states don't. District of Columbia does not. All of our neighboring states around the Great Lakes don't. And so what we're looking for here is some flexibility in the code adoption cycle. What the bill does is it says that the director of the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs can adopt the code every 3 years or every 6 years as needed. And the reason that as needed portion is important is that I've been involved with the code promulgation process on a national level now since 1999. When the new code book comes out, 60 to 65% of the changes in the new code book have absolutely nothing to do with safety issues. They're editorial changes, they're administrative changes, they're technical changes. We've combined some tables, we've moved a section around, we've added a couple of words here, a couple of words there. About 40% are really minor changes. You're going to toenail in your roof truss. Okay, we want you to use 3-inch nails instead of 2.5-inch nails. You get about 6 substantive code changes every year. In the 2009 residential code, for example, we have new wind bracing requirements. The fact that we haven't had houses collapse from wind here in the state of Michigan that have been built to the most recent codes, the 2000, 2003, we still tried to improve that. It's in the 2009, but it's not an immediate life safety. And in fact, in all the years I've been involved with the codes, there hasn't been an immediate life safety issue. So given the fact that most of these changes don't affect public safety and are minor, we don't see the sense in spending $13 million a year on code books here in the state of Michigan for local municipalities, for people in the industry, money that goes directly to the private companies that hold the copyright. we think that we ought to have some flexibility like most of the country does.
So who's going to pay for these code books if we need them on hand, or do we not need them?
Well, we believe that every builder needs to have a code book. And as a matter of fact, that's in the law that you have to have the most recent edition. And we're not opposed to that, but we just don't think you need to update the code every 3 years simply because the private companies that write these want us to. And one of the private companies, International Codes Council, has testified against this bill, and they've said, look, we use the money from the sale of these code books to run our organization. We don't want you changing the code cycle. But it doesn't make sense for us to do this, and that it's another case of overregulation. Houses will be just as safe if we go to a flexible cycle where you can do it every 3 or every 6, then they will be if we do it every 3. And that, again, goes back to the fact that there aren't many substantive changes made in the code.
Is that because of where we're located here in Michigan? New products come out, new ways of doing things that just doesn't occur that often?
No, it's simply because, as I said, the code is a national code. Everybody from around the country gets together on this. So it's not Michigan specific, but I'm glad you brought up the products. One of the things that we keep hearing from opponents to this, including the manufacturers who stand to gain from additions to the code that give their products an advantage over someone else's products, and the 2012 Energy Code is a great example of that. But we keep hearing that, well, we have to have the codes every 3 years, otherwise we won't have any new product available. Well, one of the things the bill does is it says if, for example, if we don't pick up the 2012 edition of the residential code, and the state of Pennsylvania just made the decision not to pick up the 2012 edition, then any product, any material, any method of construction that is allowable under that code will be allowable here in Michigan without having to jump through any hoops, do anything else. So we've provided for any new product to be used automatically.
Now, this $13 million, is that collected every 3 years or every year?
That $13 million is collected every 3 years.
And who pays that? How much does it cost each contractor? What's their portion of that?
It depends on what you're doing and what you're buying. For example, because as I said, you've got the 7 different code books. You're going to pay roughly about, for builders, just buying the residential code was a little under $5 million. For local units of government, because they have building departments, those building departments have to have the complete set of codes. Their building inspectors have to have the code books. You're looking at about another $3 to $4 million. And that's money that they could spend on real public safety improvements rather than just buying the latest edition of the book, because the latest edition of the book is out.
What's that cost a municipality? Like $5,000, $10,000?
It depends on whether you're a member of the International Code Council or the National Fire Prevention Association. But you're looking probably at, for a complete set of the code books, you're probably looking around $700 for each set you buy, and you're going to want one for every inspector. So you're probably around $3,000 or $4,000 by the time you're done. Depends on the size of your building department, too.
It's a lot of money.
It is. That's why the Michigan Municipal League's supporting this legislation and supporting it strongly.
So when are we going to see where's this bill at now, and where's it headed?
Well, we were successful in getting it out of the House, 68-39, nice, strong bipartisan vote. It's sitting in the Senate Regulatory Reform Committee. There was to be a hearing yesterday, but you were talking earlier with Representative Meadows about the personal property tax. They went long, so the meeting was canceled. But right now it's Senate Reg Reform. We're having hearings. The manufacturers are turning out people by the dozens to oppose this. But we're hopeful that we're going to have a couple more hearings and a vote on the bill.
All right, Lee, before I let you go, if I want to build a new home and I'm trying to find a contractor and a builder that I can trust, how do I do that?
You go to your local home builders association and look at the membership list. But don't just look at the membership list, okay? When you decide on a couple of builders, go around, get some references, talk to people they've worked for. Take a look at some of the houses they've built. See how satisfied people are. Make sure that they fit your needs.
Now, are there any quality home builders that aren't members of the Michigan Association of Home Builders?
Unfortunately, there are home builders that aren't members. But my message to them is come on in and join.
How much does it cost to join?
I can tell you it costs $80 to join the state association, but the cost of joining varies all over, because when you join the Home Builders Association, you're actually joining three associations. Mm-hmm. You join the National Association of Home Builders, Michigan Association of Home Builders, and then your local Home Builders Association. So the fees will vary for the locals. And
What's that a year? A few hundred bucks a year?
A few hundred bucks a year. Yeah.
You can't beat it, right?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, for people, one thing I want people to understand is that the number one focus of the Michigan Association of Home Builders is to preserve affordable housing in Michigan. And that's what our advocacy mission is. We work very closely with Habitat, very closely with MISHTA, very closely with the nonprofits. Our goal is to make sure that we can still build homes here in the state of Michigan, good quality homes that people can afford to buy.
Lee Schwartz is the Executive Vice President for Government Relations for the Michigan Association of Home Builders, and you're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com.